Also, just a reminder for the students, when I stand up, that's 12 minutes, so you've got 3 minutes to go ahead and wrap up and leave time for questions. And also, speak into this microphone for when there's people in here so they can hear you.
Good afternoon. I'm Dorothy Menifee. I'm a PhD student at Texas A&M University in the Soil and Crop Sciences Department, and I'm going to be presenting about modeling cotton evapotranspiration using DSAT. So evapotranspiration is the combination of soil evaporation and plant transpiration, and it's an important part of the energy balance of a field. And I'm studying using modeling to improve agricultural decision making with regards to water, and then calibrating models with field data. So the objective of this study is to evaluate the accuracy of DSAT, which is the Decision Support System for Agrotechnology Transfer, for simulating ET in cotton. So DSAT is a software system that supports a variety of different crop models, and the model that I'm using is called CropGrow Cotton. DSAT uses a number of different inputs to create the model, primarily management, climate, crop information, and agronomic principles. So the study site where I'm collecting data is a production cotton field in Burleson County, Texas, right by the Brazos River. So the field outlined in yellow is the cotton field. It's about 10 hectares, and it's managed under conventional tillage and dry land. So there's a number of different soils at the site. One set is the ship's clay, and then the other is a Westwood series. Both have shrink swell properties, so you get these open cracks in the soil. The way that I'm measuring actual field ET is through eddy covariance. So eddy covariance is a system that combines measurements of wind speed and wind direction with measurements of CO2 and water vapor concentrations. So the instrument in front is a sonic anemometer, and it's a Campbell CSAT-3 sonic anemometer, and it measures both wind speed and direction at a 10 hertz time scale. And then the instrument behind it, that's kind of got the little ball on top, that's an IRGA, or infrared gas analyzer. And this one's an OpenTAF one that does CO2 and H2O concentrations. There are other IRGA models out there that do other gases, so you can get an IRGA that can do all greenhouse gases or methane or whatever gas you're interested in, but ours is strictly CO2 and water vapor. And then this will give you field scale measurements of CO2 and water vapor flux. So once you combine, do the covariance of the wind speed and direction with the concentration, you get the full flux for the field. The flux is for the fetch of the instrument, which is based on its height. We try to keep the instrument about 2 meters above the plant canopy, which provides a fetch of about a 200-meter radius. So the EC data, it initially comes in at 10 hertz, and that's a lot of compiling. So I use EddyPro and SmartFlux, which are made by Licor, which is the company that made the IRGA, and that converts the 10 hertz data into 30-minute data. And then for gap filling, I use the Max Planck Institute for Biogeochemistry's online R gap filling tool. So in addition to the eddy covariance equipment, I also have some standard meteorological instruments, temperature and relative humidity, net radiometer, the quantum sensor, which measures plant available radiation, or PAR, a pyranometer, which does total solar radiation, and then a rain gauge. And then I also have a couple of soil instruments, a soil heat flux plate, thermocouple, and water content. And we also did plant sample collection. Plant samples were collected throughout the growing season, and we measured LAI and biomass on harvested whole plant samples. Three samples of 15 plants were taken per soil region in the field. So for the model, we're using a number of different performance indicators to look at how well the model data compares to the measured data. These indexes look at how well, the model can predict and how well the model and the measured data agree with each other. So the model parameters that I used the cotton crop grow model, and then I used the selection of methods down there. All of those methods are standard with the exception of ET. So there's two main ET calculation methods in the modeling software. One is the Priestley-Taylor Ritchie, and then the other is the FAO 56 model. And I'm going to be using both of them and showing you how they differ from each other. The simulation started on, I set the model to simulate starting on March 1st with planting on April 6th. Having a gap between planting and simulation starting is important for water balance. Just having a month of model running without there being crops can allow it to get the water content right at planting, so it makes the ET and the water balance work a little bit better when you have about a month gap in there. And then harvest date is September 11th, 2017, and the model automatically terminates at harvest. And then management practices, again, conventional till and dry land. And then we had, it was all planted to the same cultivar with a uniform broadcast nitrogen at planting. So part of creating the model is calibrating the genetic coefficients. So these are all of the genetic coefficients that I had to change. There were a couple others that I left as default in the system, and I changed from default to calibration using both the GLU tool, which is part of DSAT software system. GLU is a genetic coefficient estimation tool, and then I also used my hand-collected data. In the combination of both of those, I was able to modify the parameters so that the model would work appropriately with my field. So the first model that I looked at was the phenology model. So the red line is the simulation, and the green dots are the measured. And then the statistics are below. The ones in bold are reasonably good. So the RMSE is a bit off on LAI, and part of it is because there's a dip there. If you look right here, it kind of goes up high in the measured, and then but in the model, it kind of starts to go off. So what I think is causing that is water stress in the model. So I didn't actually see a reduction in LAI in my actual samples. However, when I look at the water stress index, which is it's a unitless ratio, just a number quantifier for how much it's going to reduce growth due to water stress. All these blue dots are simulated water stress. While I didn't see a decline in LAI with my measurements, I did see wilting, and sort of during the heat of the day, I'd see the plants kind of curling up and clearly showing signs of water stress. So my first ET model was the Priestley-Taylor model. The simulated is in blue and the measured is in green with rainfall in the lines, the bars going up. It seems to cover it fairly well. There's a few gaps where the simulation is a bit high compared to the measured, and that is pretty normal to have a little bit of off, but this is only our first year, and when we have additional years, we can modify the model better and have it work a bit more. And then this is the FAO 56 model, and again, the green is measured, the blue is simulated, and then the teal bars are rainfall. And they look fairly similar, but when we look at the statistics, they are a little bit different from each other. So looking at this, the FAO 56 actually performed a bit better, but both performed reasonably well. The root mean in RMSE was a little bit high on both of them. It technically should be more around 15, The CRM, that should be about as close to zero as you can get it, and those are both pretty good. And then the D index, we do see this one a little bit higher, and the NSC a bit higher on the FAO. So the FAO 56 does seem to work a little bit better looking at the model indices, but again, we only have 1 year so far, so once we have multiple years, we'll be able to come to better conclusions about this. So in addition to my work with the DSAT modeling, I'm doing a little bit of work with remote sensing. So I took MODIS data for the same growing field and took images from the following dates in order to create a GPP model using the remote sensing data. And I'm hoping to in the future also be able to do ET modeling using the MODIS data. That way I can compare field measurements to the DSAT model to a remote sensing-based model. I used EVI, which is Enhanced Vegetation Index. It's a vegetation index that uses the NIR red and blue, and then the NDVI, which just uses NIR and red. And then these were calculated using MODIS data for the field, and this here is an overlay of the MODIS EVI on an aerial image of the production field. MODIS has rather large pixels, so you can't see a whole lot of fine detail. I had hoped to use Landsat, however, most of the Landsat days for my field this year had a lot of cloud cover and were difficult to use. So I went with MODIS because I had better quality data, even though the resolution was poorer. So then I combined the MODIS data with PAR, which was measured with the quantum sensor, and leaf area index, which was manually measured, and then plotted that against the measured GPP. GPP is gross primary productivity, and I'm measuring that as the sum of the carbon uptake, which was measured with IRGA. So we get a slope, one for NDVI and one for EVI. Both of them performed reasonably well for a remote sensing-based model. I didn't see a huge amount of difference between the NDVI and the EVI-based model. So I'm probably going to focus more on NDVI simply because it's a bit of a simpler calculation and it's more widely available than EVI. And then in conclusion, the crop grow cotton model can estimate ET fairly well. Better energy balance enclosure will likely improve the model efficiency in the future. That is one of the things that I did have a bit of issue with, which might be causing some of my error, is I had a little bit of issue with some energy balance closure. And then preliminary work on the remote sensing model seems promising. And then acknowledgments. I'd like to acknowledge funding sources and student workers who helped with this, as well as Dr. Hugenboom, who helped with some of the DSAT work. And then questions?
Any questions?
So this would be really good for, say, predicting future yields. So if you have a right now I'm just calibrating the model with real data, but one of the nice things about the modeling software is that I can actually use it to predict future yields or how yield would change under differing management practices. So in the calibration phase, I'm only using actual weather data and actual management practices. But I could later, once I am confident with the model, I could later go in and say, how would this behave if CO2 concentration were to raise by 50 ppm? Or what would happen if I added more or less nitrogen? I could go in and do that.